Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
When you hear the name O.J. Simpson, you'll no doubt recall his famous 1972 NFL season and his supporting role in Naked Gun 2. But did you know he once got in a little bit of trouble with the police as well? This is the true crime tale of a sporting icon and the trial of the century. My name is Jack Rivlin. Welcome back to a slightly different episode of The Upshot. We're talking O.J. Simpson, who died last week. And I have, to discuss this famous case, assembled a team of the finest legal minds in the world. So acting for the prosecution is Legal Eagle Zachary Sweeney Lynch.
Hello.
Hello.
Good to be here.
Welcome. And assembling her expert forensics team and acting for the defence is Roisin Lanigan.
Just to be clear, that is not why I'm here. I'm not here to defend OJ.
There's no one here.
No one is defending OJ.
We're going to be assessing the facts and...
Yeah.
Coming to a few conclusions, but no, Roche is not defending him.
Do you not have an OJ t-shirt, though?
I have a lot of OJ memorabilia. I wouldn't say that I am a fan of OJ, but I've, like, accumulated a lot of, like, the stuff around the case. Like, watched the documentary, the five-hour documentary.
Okay.
Then watched the American Crime Story. Read the book that American Crime Story is based on.
You sent OJ that lock of your hair.
Yeah. To be clear, I am very interested in it from, like, on a forensic level. But he is in hell.
Yeah, so. No, you're in. Case closed. Thanks for listening. I mean, you're like one of millions of people who's into true crime. Like, that's probably the most popular hobby people have these days.
And I would say that, like, the OJ case is, like, it's interesting to be a dweeb about it because, like, it predicted, like, reality TV. Like, the trial predicted, like, how we think of reality TV because it was, like, the first time that they had, like, followed a police chase for hours on the road, like... Mm. It was so, like, and it's also just, like, such a time capsule. Like, that police chase, apparently, in the UK, was up against Tony Blair's conference speech, and they didn't know which one to put on the news first, because, like, people were interested in both of them, which is just so mad when you look back at it now, that that was, like, the two things.
Yeah, I want to talk a bit about the media spectacle when we get to the car show at this point, because there's some mad details that just give you a sense of how it was, like, the story in America and around the world.
Yeah.
Surely that's got out, dude. Tony Blair's conference speech.
Tony Blair was like...
Wasn't he even in power at that point.
No, I know, but he was, you know...
He was pretty sexy.
He was sexy back then. Medically. Yeah.
I mean, we should say that O.J. Simpson, because I'm a bit young and I wasn't that familiar with the case till I watched the series, the Disney Plus series a few years back, is like how big a star he was prior to the murder.
It's really hard to imagine... Like, I don't think we can kind of, like, conceive of what would the equivalent would be.
I always want to say Beckham. I mean, OJ was one of the greats of NFL history, a famous actor who was on these Hertz commercials that were constantly on TV.
Yeah. Mm.
And apparently his recognition of his face was 90% in America. 90% of Americans,
that's
prior
crazy.
To the murder, would recognise him from a photo of his face. So he's one of the most famous people in America.
Pre-internet as well.
Yeah, pre-internet.
Could they take a picture of him to that shepherd in Mongolia or whoever, who is like the only person who doesn't know who David Beckham is?
Does that shepherd
Do you know
exist?
OJ?
I think he works in the graphics department at the Sun. Right, one thing we should also just acknowledge, we have a little bit already, is like this is a bit different to our usual fare on The Upshot, right? Like, we're normally all about just like the funny stories. We touch on the odd, dark and sad thing, but this story is much, much darker. It deals with, it centres on the murder of two people. The trial has its kind of like entertaining and funny bits, but it's a little bit dark one. And we're
going to try very hard to strike the right tone. I'm sure people will let us know if we haven't. but I think it's perfectly possible to talk about this in that way.
Yeah. I think it's interesting, like, that I would say that a lot of the stories that you guys do are, like, people that are wrong-ins, but the only people that they hurt are themselves, ultimately. Like, and that's why it's not, this is, like, he is a bad person. Yeah, he was a bad person.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Different.
Yeah, I don't have much to add to that.
I was just thinking about that in the way, and I was like, there's no real comparison.
I feel like there are other people caught in the crossfire.
Well, marriages are wrecked, but
not
we're dealing with
this
double homicide.
Slightly different.
All right, I'm going to be doing most of the storytelling, because Zach can't be trusted to do it tastefully. I'm going to do most of the storytelling.
Yeah. I have read the Wikipedia page.
Yeah, you have. No, let me kick us off, guys. So OJ, he was born and grew up in the San Francisco Bay Area, California. His dad was a locally famous drag queen, which is a bit of basically trivia for you. He walked out when OJ was four. So OJ was raised by his mum, who he was really close to, kind of his sister a little bit as well. But pretty quickly, he got caught up in petty crime in the area. He was involved with a criminal gang called the Persian Warriors, which is quite sort of like intellectual. They don't sound that terrifying.
Do they still exist?
No, I think they were just a sort of group of lads in the area.
Rapscallions.
Getting into a bit of petty crime. He was arrested three times, nothing major. Didn't do particularly well in school, but the thing that always saved OJ is he was this phenomenal athlete. Mm. Good looking guy as well. He was actually for a long time aspiring to be a track athlete. And in 1967, he lost a 100-meter race against British record holder and future Lib Dems leader, Sir Mingus Campbell. Do you remember him being the merciless? It's spelled Menzies, but it is pronounced Ming. Anyway, track wasn't to be OJ's calling. Of course, he ended up getting picked up for college football at the University of Southern California. He was involved in this really famous college football match that turned him into a national star, if you're a football fan. He starred in this game. And so when the 1969 draft came around for the NFL, he was already like a big, big name. And he was the first pick. He was, he was the big name everyone was talking about. And the Buffalo Bills picked him. But there was a bit of a snag, because OJ then turned around and demanded the biggest contract in professional sports history.
Which is?
Well, at the time it was $650,000 a year, which in today's money is $5.5 million.
Oh yeah, I was that's not a lot at all. But yeah, today's money.
Yeah, today's money. And also sport. You didn't earn as much back then. Yeah. So in terms of sporting inflation, it's like asking for tens of millions now, which is pretty mad.
He was
like
a college season.
Yeah.
Well, he was still like, what, 20, 21 at this point?
Yeah, about that. Don't know.
No, but like, it's weird that like, I think that like in the UK, we don't necessarily see that going to universities, picking students from those universities and then just like making them superstars in actual...
I guess it's a bit of an Erling Haaland type scenario.
Yeah, true.
Very different.
I think that is... a very ballsy move to ask for that much money.
Yeah, and so apparently, so then the Bills owner said no, and so OJ said, well, I'm going to become an actor instead, because OJ had been doing a bit of acting work. So he'd already been in some crime and medical dramas, nothing major, slightly cheesy parts, I think. He said later that he started taking acting seriously after he was working on a film and two of the actors ordered chili con carne by private jet.
Jesus.
He was like, oh, you can make serious money, you can do that kind of mad
so
shit.
He just wanted to be like rich and famous, didn't really matter.
I think that's the implication. Yeah. Anyway, the Bills back down and give him this huge contract, and he has this amazing NFL career. His pomp is 1972 to 76, where he sets records for rushing. So his, you know, for those who aren't NFL fans, he was a running back. His thing was he ran really far with the ball. And he kept breaking records. He also gets really famous. The way that he gets famous beyond football fans are Hertz commercials, the car rental people. And they have these ads with this slogan, go OJ, go. Mm-hmm. And that's how he achieves this mad fame recognition. So in 1975, People magazine described Simpson as the first black athlete to become a bona fide, lovable media superstar. And a poll said he was one of the three most famous faces in America. So we're talking megastar.
Yeah.
Even before sports stars were megastars, he kind of invented it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen some of the ads, and they do feel like you could thread them through to like a celebrity appearing in like, you know, like George Clooney for Nespresso, where you're like, why have you put these two together? But he is charismatic in those ads.
Yeah. Anyway, he retires from football in 1979. He's 32. Injuries have started to take that toll. He retires, and he's considered one of the all-time greats. I think he's immediately, I think he's inducted into the Hall of Fame at the earliest possible opportunity. Anyway, around the late 70s, 1979, that same year, he leaves his first wife for Nicole Brown. Now, Nicole is a waitress at the Daisy Club, which is a members club in Beverly Hills. Used to be very glamorous, associated with some of the greats of Hollywood. It was kind of fading as an institution around then, but it was still, you know, it was a place where you met famous people. And they actually had a dish named after OJ, the OJ brunch, which was scrambled eggs and a slice of orange.
They've really thonged that in. Chocolate orange in. Yeah.
Anyway, this marriage is tempestuous, to say the least. OJ's violent towards her. And the police visit at least 8 times after she's phoned saying that OJ has been violent towards her. Mm. Sometimes Nicole says that he's literally trying to kill her.
Yeah.
So there were signs early on of what came.
And she was much younger than him, wasn't she?
What's the age gap?
I think Nicole was like certainly like only out of her teens, or like she had just moved to LA when she met OJ Simpson.
Right.
It wasn't like she wasn't like a fixture in the LA scene. And then he was much older and
that
much
was also
more
the case of his post-trial girlfriend as well. I think she was 19 as well.
No, Paula Barbieri was...
During.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because he has another girlfriend.
He has another one after he's acquitted.
Yeah, and she does say he's abusive to her.
Like, yeah.
Not a huge shock. Also, his girlfriend from when he was a teenager in San Francisco, there was a quote from her I read that said he was an awful person even then.
Yeah.
She wasn't more specific, but I mean... Can use your imagination. So what's Nicole's story?
I can't remember off the top of my head, but I know that I was talking about it before we started recording, but like, if you're interested in like the nitty gritty of like how they met and their relationship, You're Wrong About has like a 4-part podcast about OJ and about the trial and about Nicole. And because a lot of Nicole's friends wrote books after this, there's one, is it Faye Resnick?
Oh yeah, Faye Resnick. Yeah.
She wrote a book about like being friends with Nicole. But yeah, I think there was an age gap, so she was not famous, and she didn't want to become famous, I don't think. So it was like a mixed power dynamic there.
And they're married for some time. They have 2 children together. OJ's unfaithful throughout as well. And they get divorced in, I think, 92. They reconcile, and then they finally break up for good in May 1994. And relations are strained, to say the least. Anyway, about a month after they finally break up, they... both go to their daughter's dance recital at school. They're both there separately. Nicole's there with her family. OJ's there separately. They have a disagreement, some witnesses say later, where OJ thinks that her dress is too tight.
Nicole's?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah. Anyway, after the dance recital, Nicole goes out to dinner with her family, and she goes to a restaurant where her friend works, Ron Goldman, a waiter in the restaurant. Her mum at this meal leaves her eyeglasses at the restaurant and later phones the restaurant, and Ron says that he'll take them round when he's done with his shift, which will become a crucial moment. Simpson, after the dance recital, he goes to Burger King with his friend slash lodger, Cato Kaelin. So Cato, he's a sort of like...
he was friends with both. So I think Cato lived with Nicole at some point and he was friends with both of them. And then OJ said, no, move in with me and you can live for free, because Cato was like, I guess, just like sofa surfing. And so it was kind of sad because he was friends with Nicole and then she lost this friendship, and then he goes and lives with OJ and then he becomes like very key in the trial.
Why does OJ need a lodger?
That was just what I was about to ask. He's the most lucrative contract in history.
He's got a guest house that's separate from the house.
Yeah,
that
it's
Cato
like a little
in.
Pool house or something.
So is it just for company?
I think it's, do you know what? I think it's probably a flex that like he was friends with Nicole and then OJ's like, if this picture has been, you know, immersion of him as being super controlling, which he was, like after they split up, he would like show up at her house and stuff and like watch her if she had a boyfriend over, like really dark shit. And so I think it fits into that pattern of being like, oh no, my friend.
Yeah.
And then, like taking them off.
Doesn't in the, like a few months before the night of her death, Nicole tells the police that OJ spied on her sleeping with someone.
Yeah.
And he threatened to kill her.
Yeah, and I think there's like phone, you can listen to like the phone conversations where he does call her up after, and he's like quite abusive to her, like as a result. Oh, you can, when she's calling the police, you can hear him.
Yeah,
on
the
call.
Yeah.
Like being really abusive.
We're at the darkest point of this story. It does get a bit less kind of,
it becomes more farcical, I'd say, when you get to the trial.
You sit with her.
Didn't he said to one of Nicole's friends at some point that if she ever slept with anybody else, then he'd kill her.
Right. Yeah.
So, I mean, there were warning signs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so Simpson, after this dance recital and Kayla Kate, and they go to Burger King. A drug dealer will later claim that he sold them crystal meth that night at the Burger King. But, you know, there's a lot of people popping up making claims. So
did they test OJ when he eventually is arrested? No.
Not to my knowledge, no. I don't think so. I've never read anything about that.
I feel like you would hear if he was on
crystal meth. Yeah. Yeah, everyone seemed to be back then, didn't they?
Well, one of the weirdest conspiracy theories that I read, like on at the weekend after he died, was someone being like, no, him and Nicole were like the drug dealers of Beverly
Sharon
Hills.
Sharon Osbourne theory.
Is that what she
said?
Yeah,
well, actually, we're going to get to it. We'll come back to it, because she is the origin of this theory. Okay, anyway, so OJ, after Burger King, he goes home where he picks up a voicemail from his current girlfriend, Paula Barbieri, dumping him.
Mm. Yes.
Which is seen again as a possible trigger for what happens next. The next thing we know is that around midnight, and I'm condensing the details here a bit here, but around midnight, dog walkers passing Nicole's house find her dog running loose with blood on its legs. And this ultimately leads them to her body around the time of midnight. The dog walkers phone the police saying they found a body, and when the police arrive, they find the body of Ron Goldman too. Mm-hmm. Both of them been stabbed multiple times. It's very, very violent.
Yeah,
I'm not going to get into more detail than that. Near the bodies, the police find shoe prints in the blood. They find blood that is seemingly from the killer because it's a trail leading away from the scene. And they find an extra large leather glove, a right-handed glove with blood on it. Meanwhile, OJ is meant to be flying to Chicago for an appearance for Hertz, the car rental people. And his limo driver turns up to take him to the airport. The house is empty. There's no car outside. He's pretty sure no one's home. And then he says later that he sees a large figure enter the house. He can't be sure who it is, but he says it could have been OJ, size-wise. OJ then appears from the house. He says he seems agitated. He has four bags, which he puts into the trunk of the limo. He won't let the chauffeur touch one of them, which is a rucksack. And later the airline will confirm that he only checks three bags in for his flight.
And did they ever recover?
The fourth bag is never recovered. The theory later will be that the fourth bag contains the murder weapon and other evidence and was thrown away in a bin in the airport. Anyway, OJ makes this flight to Chicago. The limo driver says it was a bit weird. He was sweating a lot. He complained about being hot. He seemed a little agitated, but, you know, could be anything. When he gets to Chicago to his hotel, that night he phones reception and asks for some plasters for his hand because he's cut himself and there's a broken glass in the room. They find blood on the sheets the next day. Okay, now back in Los Angeles, in the immediate aftermath of the murder, the police obviously go to tell OJ because it's his ex-wife who's been murdered. They go to his house, which looks empty. But as they're looking outside, they notice that there is blood on his car, which is a white Ford Bronco. Remember, the car hadn't been there when the chauffeur had come to pick him up. Mm. Anyway, seeing the blood, the police will later say that they thought, okay, there's an active crime going on. So they scale the walls of his property. And while they're searching the property, they find a left-handed glove that seems to match the right-handed one, and it's got blood on it.
I mean, when you put it all together like that and you hear it really condensed, it is just like Cluedo.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Slam dunk.
Yeah.
So at this point, anyway, the police phone OJ, who's in Chicago. They track him down to this hotel. They've spoken to Cato Kalin, his lodger, who's pretty flustered and seems a bit.
Does Cato say that they got back really late and then he went to bed?
Yeah,
he doesn't
Cato speak to says Cato. I've been asleep.
Okay,
but Cato does later say that he heard three loud bangs on the side of his guest house, which people think was OJ trying to like climb the property so he wouldn't be seen. Anyway, the police call OJ in Chicago to tell him, and they say, "I'm so sorry to tell you this. Your ex-wife's been murdered," and they'll later say that OJ's response was a bit weird. So he doesn't ask about how she was murdered. And he doesn't ask if his kids, who are asleep in the house, he doesn't even ask if they're okay. He asks if they saw the body.
Ooh.
But you think your first question would be like, are my kids okay as well? He asks if they saw the body, but not if they were harmed. Anyway, he obviously flies back to Los Angeles, and the next day police meet with him in person and they notice he's got a cut on his hand. They ask him how he sustained it, and initially he says that he did it in the hotel in Chicago. But then when they ask about the blood on the car, he changes his story and says, oh, I must have done it in the car, I don't remember. They also, I don't know if it's now or in the initial search, they find in his bedroom, they find a sock that has blood on it as well.
But so they don't find any of the clothes that he wore when he was doing this, that was all disposed of in the bag that went missing.
All they find is a glove and a sock. Right, so okay. The theory is that it was in the rucksack that went in the airport bin.
Did they not also find blood from both of the murder victims in his car?
So they found blood on the car, but at this point it's too early, but they then run a DNA test.
But they can't... DNA is in its infancy in this era, right? So they really struggled to like explain it.
Yeah.
To during the trial that like the jury are like, what do you mean?
Yeah, this becomes a bigger problem for the actual court case. But they run DNA tests, and on the glove and the sock and the blood in his car, they find both his blood and the victim's blood. They also find his blood at the crime scene. So knowing what we know about DNA now, I mean,
how has he not got done for this?
How is the guy not in jail?
Yeah. I think it was that, like, I remember they write about it in the book, and then in the American Crime Story tried to explain it, that they bring in these scientists and like just desperately try to explain to the jury that this is what DNA is, but no one knows what DNA is. Yeah. Like,
and we'll talk about how the defense undo this.
Yeah.
I mean, it's impressive. But obviously once they've got the DNA results, they issue an arrest warrant. By this point, OJ is aware that he's a suspect, and he's holed up in the house of his friend, Rob Kardashian, who obviously is the father of the Kardashians. He's the ex-husband of Kris Jenner.
Father
of Kim Kardashian. What and are the
Courtney.
Other ones called?
He's, Courtney. He's Kim, Courtney, and allegedly Khloe's father.
So there is, Roche, you have this theory about Khloe Kardashian.
There is, it's not my theory, but there is a theory that Khloe Kardashian is OJ's daughter. Like, and it's so like well known that I think on the show, I didn't watch all of the Kardashian seasons, but I think on the show they like address it. And she asks Chris, because Chris is supposed to have had this affair with OJ, and like...
Because Chris Jenner and Rob Kardashian were best friends with both Nicole Brown and OJ Simpson, right?
Yeah.
Super close.
And then they split during the trial, which they briefly touched on in the programme, but the drama of it, because where Rob Kardashian is played by Ross Geller.
Yeah, David Schwimmer.
David Schwimmer.
He plays it brilliantly,
yeah,
I think.
He's really
just looks
good.
Permanently worried. Which
and he's
he
like,
be.
Juice all the
yeah,
time.
Yeah, he's like, the juice. Yeah, so for people who aren't familiar with OJ... Because his name's OJ, his nickname was The Juice.
The Juice.
Or just Juice.
It's an interesting dynamic to the trial if it was his lawyer was also his best friend.
So Rob Kardashian was a lawyer, but he gets added to OJ's legal team, but not really for his legal... He's not a criminal lawyer. It's more as a sort of like...
He has to... I think he has to... I mean, I don't know how it works, but he had to like reactivate
his license
to practice law. And it was like, he wasn't like the main guy. There was another main guy.
Rob Shapiro,
who was a bit shit. And then they got Johnny Cochran in, who was much more...
Is this a bit like how Kim Kardashian now has... she's been practicing law as well, hasn't she?
She qualified a few times.
I rang for the...
Some sort of honorary degree.
Yeah, I rang for the legal aid and Kim fucking Kardashian strutting
in. But I think that's what they thought of when it was Rob Kardashian, because they were like, who the fuck is this guy? Like,
so apparently, we'll talk about his legal team in a bit, but they get Rob on the team because he's sort of the OJ whisperer. He's the conduit.
Okay.
And they're all a little bit suspicious about...
You know. He sort of convinces him to, or he tries to convince him to give himself up during the arrest.
So let's talk about this. The arrest warrant goes out. OJ's at Rob Kardashian's house and the police phone and say, we want him to hand themselves in. And but, I mean, normally a suspect would be arrested and hauled into the station. It would be like, you wouldn't be given time. But as he's famous, and at this point he's got Rob Shapiro as a pretty top lawyer, they negotiate a deal where OJ has a few hours to come to the station and hand himself in. Mm-hmm. And the press assemble at this police station for a perp walk, you know, when he arrives and is cuffed. 1,000 journalists are waiting outside with cameras and stuff. But OJ doesn't show up. And the police are like, what the fuck's going on? They call them and eventually they turn up at the house. And basically what's happened is OJ has disappeared and left what appears to be several suicide notes to his... fans, to his family and so on. And in one of the notes, he denies murdering Nicole, but he says, I can't go on. He does say he's sorry for the Goldman family.
When you read back the suicide note, like, although he doesn't say, like, I murdered Nicole, it's hard not to take them as admissions of guilt.
Yeah. I mean...
Yeah. Why else would he be apologising to the Goldman
family? Well, no, he doesn't say... He says, I feel sorry for them, which I think is a normal emotion if you were innocent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm not defending him.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Anyway, what happens next is pretty nuts. OJ is meant to be handing himself in. By this point, the media are assembled, you know, outside his house, outside the station. The whole country knows about this. But he goes on the run. Somehow he forces his friend, Al Cowling, who's a former football star, to take him in his white Ford Bronco. Al has a car that they perfectly matches OJ's car. But OJ's car is obviously evidence because it's got blood from possibly the murder on it. But Al's got a matching car and they go on the run in it. And OJ is basically in the backseat of the car holding a gun to his own head, being like, keep driving or I'll shoot myself.
Yeah.
And pretty soon the media get wind of this and it kicks off. The first of a series of mad, like, media circus events. So there are 9 different news helicopters following OJ's car. They somehow track him down on the freeway in LA, and he's in this white Bronco. And soon the police are chasing him, too. I say chase. It's one of the slowest police chases ever.
Yeah, because they don't, because he's like, I will kill myself if they get closer. So. Yeah. And there's like some like ACs on the phone to the police.
So apparently, at one point OJ calls 911 and it's like, fuck off or I'll kill myself. Yeah. He's talking to them through that. At one point, there's a radio, like a sports radio presenter who somehow realizes that they've got him on in the car and starts telling OJ to hand himself in. And then this guy gets OJ's old coach to phone him on his like car phone or mobile phone.
So they're listening to it on the radio.
Yeah, wow. So they're listening to it on the radio. Meanwhile, the entire nation is watching. So it's televised on every single TV channel. More people are watching that than the Super Bowl.
That's what's crazy. It's on at the same time as the Super Bowl, is that right?
No, it's on the same time as the NBA playoffs.
Yep.
And they're showing the playoff in a small like square in the corner of the screen. And the main screen is OJ's car from a helicopter, the view. And it's the whole country's watching. So more viewers than the Super Bowl. Domino's sell a record number of pizzas during the car chase because people just can't tear themselves away. And people describe a carnival-like atmosphere in LA. The streets like empty because everyone's just at home watching. Spectators gather on bridges urging him to flee. So there are people standing on bridges with signs saying, go OJ, go, which is his slogan from the Hertz car rental advert.
What was his end game with this? Where was he... planning on heading?
I think they're just circling. I don't think it's... He's panicked. I don't know what way the freeway works in LA, but like, I don't think they were driving to Mexico. It's
normally full of fucking traffic. I've sat there for 5 hours, so he's done well. So.
Well, everyone was at home watching.
Yeah. But it's like, you know, during disaster movies or later COVID, you have this thing of like famously like congested places in the world just empty. It was like that. Yeah. Everyone was just watching OJ on this chase.
I'm trying to think of like, again, like what would the normal equivalent, but I guess you're right. If it's Beckham, like if David Beckham killed someone and the World Cup was on, he would be like, turn off the World Cup.
Mental, but
but that's how you would describe it.
Yeah.
Anyway, so they're circling, but eventually, you know, people are starting to get through to OJ. So Al Cowling, who's driving, is begging him to stop. OJ's old coach calls, the radio host, and eventually they persuade OJ that if he comes back to his house and he keeps saying, I want to talk to my mama, he's really close to his mom, and they're like, you can come, we'll let you talk to your mom, just come back in the car. So eventually this white Bronco very slowly returns to OJ's house, the whole world watching, and there's loads of press there waiting. OJ goes into the house. There's a SWAT team there, mm-hmm. but they allow him to go into the house.
Yeah.
He talks to his mum. He has a glass of orange juice, apparently. Apparently when they tell the press this outside, they all start cackling with laughter. Yeah. And then he walks out and hands himself in. The police also arrest Al Cowling for harbouring a fugitive, which I always thought was really unfair.
He's just trying to stop his friend. Al Cowling gets arrested
and the bail is 250 grand.
But he's basically been kidnapped.
Yeah.
He's just been like, he's in the car.
OJ's taken himself kidnapped.
Yeah. Anyway, in the car, in answer to your question of what was his plan, they find $8,000 in cash, a change of clothing, a loaded gun, a US passport, family pictures, and a disguise kit with a fake goatee and moustache. Which
he's the most famous man. Yeah. Like he's the most famous man in the country.
Yeah. That would have been such a good thing. Can you imagine all these helicopters hovering over, and then he just gets out with a fake nose? It's like, oh, it's not him.
No, sombrero. Just, yeah. Has anyone seen OJ Simpson? Because that's just a guy with a moustache.
Well, he's with Al Cowling, and he's in the white Ford Bronco, but it couldn't possibly be him.
Also, where's he? Has he just got a disguise kit? That's quite a weird thing to own.
Well, maybe if you're famous. You would have one. I don't know.
Really? That's an interesting...
For what? For...
Would you not think it would have... Suppose, apparently, yeah. Princess, apparently Princess Diana had one.
Really?
Well, when she went to...
Was it a moustache? Yeah.
She had like $8,000 in cash.
One of those pairs of glasses with a moustache.
Monocle.
But it's interesting that he already owned that.
Mm.
Yeah.
Anyway, so he's in custody from this point and clearly he's facing a murder trial. I mean, the prosecution straight away are... expecting a slam dunk. Mm-hmm. Like, it's very clear to them that they've got their man and they've got the evidence they need. In response, OJ assembles what becomes known as the dream team of lawyers. So he first speaks to Rob Shapiro, who's a criminal lawyer, who's played by a very sort of Botox John Travolta in the drama The People versus OJ Simpson. But their leader is the swaggering Johnny Cochran. So Johnny Cochran's specialty is police brutality cases normally, and basically winning payouts from the police. They also have Rob Kardashian on there. They've also got Alan Dershowitz. He's a sort of Harvard legal academic who is famed for representing pretty evil people, right? So he later represents Harvey Weinstein and Jeffrey Epstein. This is a top legal team.
But isn't it that, like, when you look at what they actually do, none of them are, like, murder?
Yeah, what's odd is a lot of them aren't murder specialists. No. But clearly that doesn't matter. I guess the most important thing to mention at this point is the background of the whole thing in terms of race relations in America, and particularly in LA. So this is a few years after the Rodney King assault by the police, this really horrific assault on a black man that's recorded on camera that I guess, you know, we've seen quite similar events recently. It kicks off like a series of riots in LA. Confidence in the LAPD among non-white residents is at an all-time low. They've got a reputation for brutality, for racism, and that will become a really important detail of the whole thing. And I guess key to this as well is the fact that it's decided that OJ's trial won't be held in Santa Monica, where the murder was committed and where the jury would likely have been mainly white. Because it's such a like media circus, it's such a big event, it's decided it has to be held in downtown LA. There's a courthouse that can kind of handle that more. And therefore, in the downtown LA area, you're much more likely to have a predominantly black jury. Key bit of info.
Yeah. But don't say. They, isn't it like that they, the actual like jury process of choosing a jury is like really torturous? I mean, the trial was on for ages.
Yeah. 9 of the 12 jurors in the end are black, and it's a heavily female jury as well. So his defense, the defense team's initial plan that when they first see the situation, they obviously need to have a narrative about what they think explains the murder. They think, or they plan to argue that it was drug dealers looking for Nicole Brown's friend, Faye Resnick. Because Faye Resnick had lived with Nicole Brown until a few days before the murder, she had a drug problem. It was believed that she owed some drug dealers money. So the theory they think initially is that these violent drug dealers came looking for Faye Resnick and ended up killing Nicole Brown. This theory will later have an unlikely proponent in none other than Sharon Osbourne. So Sharon Osbourne, when the Osbournes first got big on TV, it was sort of the first of that constructive reality TV series. And Sharon Osbourne, during the show, at the height of her Osbourne's fame, she claims that OJ and Nicole were her and Ozzy's coke dealers. And she says she used to buy coke from them, and that she believes that local criminals killed Nicole because she was basically encroaching on their turf. And that, you know, it was basically a like gangland hit. And that they also tried to kill OJ, which is why he fled. That's Sharon Osbourne's thing. I should say her and Ozzy have quite evidently taken a lot of drugs in their time.
Right, where were we?
So that's the initially planned defence. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, the media attention ahead of the trial is getting insane. So the Judge Ito, decides that this case is going to be televised, which is quite a big call.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't have televised court cases here, so it's probably hard for us to relate to, but it's a big part of why this turns into the trial of the century. It would have been a big story anyway, even with everything we've heard so far. But imagine being able to watch it all day.
The entire thing is playing out like a movie in real time, isn't it? Just like with the helicopters filming it live, broadcasting it.
Yeah.
And then the entire trial being broadcast on national television as well. It's just crazy.
And it was the story. Marsha Clark, who's a key figure, she's the lead prosecutor. She said later, when the trial began, all the networks were getting all these hate mail letters because people's soap operas were being interrupted for the Simpson trial. But then those people got addicted to the Simpson trial and they got really upset when the trial was over. And people would come up to me on the street and say, God, I loved your show.
Your so show. Great.
That shows how people struggle to actually like realize it's not just a fucking show.
And maybe why there was a lot of reasons why it became so like divided and people were like, oh no, he didn't do it or he did do it. People basically like came down on one side or the other as though it was a show.
Yeah. But it's interesting because people complain now about like on Twitter that this gallows humor takes over and it can get quite sick. Like when that submarine sank and people were making jokes about it, but you can see how it was basically the same atmosphere around this. It becomes this like meme, basically. Yeah. Marsha Clark, at one point, her topless photos are published in National Enquirer during the trial.
It's really sad.
Like that's how...
I kind of love Marsha Clark.
Yeah. She's... I think, you know, obviously she loses the case, spoiler alert, but like with time, she's certainly like recovered her dignity as the losing prosecutor, whereas at the time it probably felt quite humiliating losing the case.
I think that also like Marsha Clark and Johnny Cochran like sum up like the two camps, because Marsha Clark did like a lot of domestic abuse cases, so she was coming at it from like this like huge place of anger, and Johnny Cochran did a lot of like police brutality and race relations cases and came at it from like that angle. So they were like diametrically opposed.
In The People versus O.J. Simpson, he's portrayed as a bit cynical.
Yeah.
And maybe not mercenary, because he really believes in his cause, but like he'll try anything.
He's like a celebrity lawyer, isn't he?
Okay, so the case for the prosecution. I mean, you can probably guess. OJ has no alibi for an hour and 18 minutes during the time the murders were committed. They believe that he came to Nicole's house in a rage. He'd been dumped by Paula Barbieri. He was livid with her. He murders her while he's either in the process of it or just done it. They think that Ron Goldman comes around to drop off Nicole's mother's glasses and OJ kills him because he's a witness. That's their case. They found his blood at the crime scene. They found the victim's blood on and in his car. All three's blood is on the glove that's found by his house. The victim's blood is found on the socks in his room, and they have hair and body and clothing fiber evidence as well. The shoe prints in the blood match a pair that are his size. And someone who works at Bloomingdale's testifies that OJ looked at that exact pair.
Oh my God.
In court, OJ denies that he bought them. He says, I'd never wear those ugly ass shoes. Those shoes later become super popular. So at the time, only 29 pairs have been sold in the USA.
Are they Ferragamos?
Yes. Maybe not. I can't remember.
I think they are Ferragamos, which is a lovely shoe.
They become like the shoe of the year after the case, which is, again, pretty
good. It was the same with the white Ford Broncos as well.
Yeah.
Okay, so that case of the prosecution's pretty clear. Interestingly, they don't introduce much evidence around domestic violence. You'd think that would be a key plank in it.
Yeah.
Initially, they're planning to. Then one juror has to be dismissed early on because the juror gives an interview to TV News, which you think is pretty obvious you can't do. And that juror, basically, she says, like, the domestic violence thing isn't important to her. She basically, like, dismisses the idea that it's real. And at that point, they decide that the racial dynamic on the jury is more important than the domestic violence one, and they don't think there'll be sympathy for that. So they don't introduce much evidence around OJ's history of being violent to Nicole. Some people think this was a miscalculation. Actually, a lot of the jurors say later that they don't think it would have made a difference. So make that what you will. But
haven't like every one of the jurors has written a book or something?
Yeah, a lot of them have. A couple of them have said that they would convict. Now, what a lot of them say later is that there's this assumption that it was a racial thing for them, but actually they just say, like, it wasn't proved beyond reasonable doubt. We all thought that on the balance of probabilities, he probably did do it, but we don't think there was reasonable doubt. So
I think that's what's hard to like also to remember is that like they just didn't prove like the prosecution's is it's quite flawed. And so you can't like, but that's what you're in for when you're a juror. You're supposed to be like, do I know 100% that they did it?
Yeah.
So should we talk about the defense case and how they pull this off? So the defense claim that this DNA evidence, DNA is this relatively new thing. People don't fully understand it. They say this evidence is compromised, contaminated, and corrupted. Two sort of planks to this. The first is that the police are racist and they've planted evidence. And they claim that one of the detectives at one point even pours OJ's blood onto the sock. Mm. I think it's the sock that they say. And they present some evidence that would suggest that this could have been the case. One of the detectives is Mark Furman, and he's one of the guys who visits OJ's house at the very beginning. I think he's the guy who scales the wall even and is involved in finding the glove and the sock. And during cross-examination, they ask Furman if he's ever said the N-word. Mm-hmm. He says no. And then they produce a tape in which he uses the word 41 times. Mm-hmm. He will later insist that it's an acting audition that had been recorded.
Doesn't he also have a lot of Nazi memorabilia?
Yeah, that's the other thing. I can't remember the details on this, but they find some dodgy memorabilia.
Yeah.
He does produce some black colleagues who defend him, but I mean...
And this doesn't... Furman, I can't remember what it exactly is, but he either works or lives in the area where Rodney King was beaten.
Right, okay.
So it's like, he shouldn't have been... I think like when you, it's not Marsha Cross, but one of them has said like he shouldn't have been anywhere near it.
Yeah. So they basically destroy the jury's confidence in this detective. And I guess maybe the prosecution make a miscalculation here because they abandon him once they've seen that. They're just like, fuck you, don't want anything to do with you. So he then hires his own lawyer because he's worried about implicating himself and protecting himself. And that lawyer tells him, plead the Fifth Amendment, which is your right to remain silent and not say anything. So... in cross-examination, he pleads the Fifth to every single question they ask him. He just says, I'd like to assert my Fifth Amendment right. And the defense team see this and they're like, So they quickly confer and then they ask him one more question. They say, did you plant or manufacture any evidence in this case? And he replies, I'd like to assert my Fifth Amendment right. Wow. So that's a bombshell moment for people watching on TV. Apparently, I've read that the jury aren't actually present at that point. I don't know how you square that.
It's very complicated. Like I'm like as someone who has like a strange level of interest in this case. There's something to do with a grand jury, which is jury selection, and then they dismiss the jury a whole load of times. I actually don't really understand the Fifth Amendment thing because like I have never ever seen that in like a crime show or in real life where you're not like this makes you look so guilty.
Oh, yeah,
why does that exist?
I think you can't be convicted based off that response. So if the judge will direct the jury and say you can't take that stuff into account.
So it's all just like
I mean the jury wasn't present for that.
But another question, if the jury was not present for that but it was on TV, surely they're going to see it anyway.
Well, no, because the jury are sequestered. They're not allowed to watch TV
for a year or so.
And at one point they revolt.
How do they do that?
Hotel.
So the jury members are constantly staying in a hotel with no TV.
No family.
And they go nuts. This is a thing, jury fatigue. Mm-hmm. That after a while, if a jury's sequestered for that long, they start to just swing one way quite aggressively.
And I wonder if you would just be like, whatever. Yeah. You would give up, but you would be fatigued with it.
Anyway, so although the jury don't see this dramatic bombshell, people on TV do, the judge does, and it means that the prosecution have abandoned Detective Furman, and the defense lean really hard on this. So in his summing up, Johnny Cochran, who's OJ's lawyer, he brands Detective Furman a genocidal racist, a perjurer, America's worst nightmare, and the personification of evil. His whole summing up speech is about the fact that the police are racist. I think he even compares him to like a Holocaust guard at one point.
I think it's because he had all the Nazi stuff.
Yeah, I forgot about the Nazi memorabilia.
Yeah.
There's definitely Nazi memorabilia in the People versus O.J. Simpson.
But they go to like his house or something and he has, and then I think he talks about it. He's just like, I'm just interested in World War II, which is just, I just don't think that ever. When someone's like, I'm just interested in that period of history. It's like, why specifically?
Well, how are you explaining your O.J. memorabilia?
I don't have O.J. memorabilia. Just hurts.
Yeah, so basically this racist detective goes a long way to helping the defense case. And yeah, as I said, they work hard at persuading the jury that the DNA evidence is unreliable. Now, there is one, probably the most famous piece of evidence in the whole case is, of course, the glove. So they found this glove
at OJ's house. It's got the victim's blood on it. I mean, that should seal it.
It's a smoking gun.
His blood and both of their blood.
Yeah,
this is
smoking gun. So Marsha Clark, the lead prosecutor, and her team, they decide they don't want OJ to try this glove on because there's already a sense that it might have shrunk. It's been soaked with blood. It's been frozen and unfrozen several times. So they think, okay, let's just produce some pictures of him wearing the glove, which they find, and they have a receipt for him buying the glove. It's his glove.
There's no dispute in that.
Anyway, so Marsha Clark's not planning to get him to try the glove on, but her deputy, Darden, he knows Johnny Cochran, the defense attorney, and Cochran goads him into getting OJ to try on the glove. And so Darden surprises his whole team by asking OJ to try the glove on in court. And of course, we all know what happens next. OJ kind of struggles with it theatrically. He does a really good job, but he can't get the glove on his hand.
Yeah,
that's a huge moment because it would appear that this crucial bit of evidence wasn't his. And so I think, you know, think from the juror's point of view, that plants a lot of doubt in your mind. Mm. You might think, oh, well, OJ had a lodger. Could it be his glove, for example? Could it have been planted by the police? The defense come up with this great slogan thanks to that, which is, if it doesn't fit, you must acquit. Genius.
It's so good.
Apparently the glove company later confirmed that the gloves definitely had shrunk from their actual size. Oh, yeah.
I mean, they are tiny. When you see the famous photo of him, you know, like showing that he can't put the glove on, they are tiny.
Yeah. That is a significant bit of evidence, but you would think that the fact that the gloves are soaked in his blood and the other two.
But what's that explained to the jury? Because I'd never thought about that until this week.
Also, like, I think that you have to remember, when you list all the evidence, it's almost, like, too perfect. Yeah. And if you're already on the jury being like, this is so perfect, and they've got this racist police officer, and it's, like, what, like, 2 years after Rodney King? Like, a few years?
Yeah.
That you would be like, oh, yeah, of course it's planted.
And there is some other evidence I haven't mentioned the defence produced to suggest that the blood has been planted. So, for example, there's this like chemical or protein that's on the sock, which they say would only have come from an evidence bag. It's inside test tubes to preserve blood. And so they say it must have been poured from a test tube onto the sock. But actually, apparently this chemical is in McDonald's food, for example, lots of other things. So it could have come from that. So what I mean is they do make quite a plausible case. They have a blood spatter expert who says, like, this blood looks like it's been poured on for me. Actually, blood spatter evidence has been discredited subsequently.
I mean, like, a lot of evidence in trials you can discredit. Like, it's not, they're all, it's not like it's science, it's not pseudoscience, but they all contradict each other. So you just have to find the most convincing person to say, like, oh no, this is, it could only have happened.
What you were saying before about the whole reasonable doubt thing. Yeah. Like, if there's any element of doubt, then.
I'm still convicting, by the way, just to be clear. you guys can acquit. Anyway, so the verdict comes around after this long trial. The police are prepared for riots. You know, if he's found guilty, they're expecting big riots in LA. But after 4 hours of deliberation from the jury, they announce the verdict, not guilty. At which point, one juror stands up and gives Simpson a Black Power salute.
4 hours?
Yeah, 4 hours.
After a year of, like, a trial?
You're saying it's quick?
That's really, really quick. Yeah. And don't they say that, like, usually if it's a quick verdict, that you're guilty.
Oh, really?
That they're like, yeah, they know that you're guilty.
I hadn't thought about this. Have they not deliberated before this point?
No, this is like, they sent them away and I think they were preparing OJ to be like, this is going to be a month. Mm. Like, this is like a 2 year long process at this point where they like, the juries have been going nuts, stuck in this hotel. Mm. But they must have just wanted out.
As soon as they got the charges, like, fuck it.
Get us out of here.
Yeah. Obviously, everyone's tuning in for the verdict. Water usage declines. Telephone usage is down 60%. Apparently, the judges in the Supreme Court are in the middle of a hearing and they pass each other a note with the verdict on it. It's like something out of Simpsons. So, yeah, the verdict's in and there's a huge divide among Americans based on race about whether you think he's guilty. 75% of white Americans think he was guilty at the time and 70% of black Americans think he's innocent. So it's a pretty clear split. Apparently in 2004, they ran the same poll and the results were about the same. A few more black Americans had gone for guilty. Mm. But by 2016, it has evened up a bit. So in 2016, 83% of white Americans think he was guilty and 57% of black Americans say guilty.
I wonder,
so a majority.
Is that based on OJ's, you know, later activity and behaviour?
Yeah, I mean,
he didn't help himself.
Yeah, apparently Alan Dershowitz, he wrote this week in like The Spectator, he was saying that his advice to these people is always just like, now you need to shut your fucking mouth. Instead, OJ, he goes the other way, really, doesn't he? I mean, so first of all, the night of, he hosts a massive party. And so the press are all outside his house and they can just see, like, staff coming in with crates of champagne, like, loud music.
And doesn't he say, I mean, he said this afterwards, I don't know if he said it at the party, but he's like, I'm going to find who did it.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, I'm going to find the killer.
A lot of people polled said they lost faith in him. One of the jurors says this. They said he said he was going to find the killer and then he never tried. So I've lost faith.
I mean, you've got to say, what an idiot.
Who said that? OJ?
One of the jurors said it. But yeah, OJ said he was going to find the killer. Obviously, he doesn't.
He said, he said also, and I read it this weekend, that he felt uncomfortable being in LA in case he bumped into Nicole and Ron's killer.
Really?
Yeah. That he was their killer.
Yeah, that's not the real reason he leaves LA, is it? No, the real reason is... The Goldman and Brown families obviously distraught and they're pretty sure that the killer's been let off. They sue OJ for causing their wrongful deaths. And the civil case, which is held in 1996, it's done pretty differently. The judge doesn't allow TV cameras. He's much stricter about what evidence is allowed. He doesn't really allow any denigration of the DNA evidence or the investigation. He's way, way more. It's a very different case. And OJ loses. He owes the families $33 million. But he can't afford it. He declares bankruptcy and he moves from LA to Florida. Mm. In Florida, not all your assets can be seized.
Oh, right.
So it's quite cynical.
Yeah, I always wondered why he moved to Florida.
Yeah, that's why.
Which is one of those places that in the UK seems really glamorous. And then when you sort of know a bit more about America, you're like, it's not that glamorous.
Hey, Florida. They're a nice place.
Yeah. Disney.
Yeah, obviously. Trump National. Yeah. Also, OJ... from pretty much day one is giving these slightly odd interviews. So many people might have seen since his death the infamous interview with Ruby Wax.
Just did you do it?
No, I didn't. Nope, did not do it.
After we finished filming, OJ said to me that he had a surprise for me, and I genuinely was surprised. I think it was his idea of a joke, and this is it.
The video is OJ, she opens a door and OJ is there with a banana and he pretends to be stabbing her while making the sound from the film Psycho.
Yeah.
I do think Ruby Wax does look like she's finding it quite funny, not during, but when she's describing it later.
Yeah, but then afterwards you would go home and you'd be like, what an incredible thing to have captured. Yeah. She wrote about it and I think she wrote about it for the Sunday Times.
Yeah.
For a second.
She's pivoted back to journalism.
Yeah. Anyway, pretty weird thing to do if you are a murderer. Also, when she goes, did you do it? And he goes, no. He looks so guilty.
He's like, nope. Yeah. Which is a weird... Nope. Don't say nope.
It's when he keeps talking. Didn't do it. Nope. Yeah.
Looks directly at the camera. Yeah, in a very unconvincing...
It's the same year he gives an interview to Esquire magazine where he says, let's say I committed this crime. Even if I did this, it would have to be because I loved her very much, right? For me, that's more damning than the fucking glove.
Yeah.
Which didn't fit.
Why were Esquire interviewing him?
Well...
I guess you're going to sell a lot of magazines, aren't you?
This weird thing, like, the guy is innocent. I mean, he is rejected by a lot of his old, like, celebby friends.
Yeah.
Esquire used to do a bit of, like, gritty Gonzo-y stuff, so maybe they'd lump it in that category.
And he writes a book.
Yeah. So he obviously gives these interviews, and then maybe he lies a little low for a bit until 2006... when news leaks that OJ is releasing a book called If I Did It.
Jesus Christ.
And it's a hypothetical account of if he had murdered Nicole Brown and Ron Goldman, how he would have done it.
And did the Browns or the Goldmans ever... No, they did, because the Goldmans sued him for it, right?
Yeah, so they take over the rights. They get control of the book. So basically, when people learn that this book's coming out, there's a massive public backlash, and Rupert Murdoch, who owns the rights, he orders the 400,000 copies to be pulped.
Why does he own the rights?
He owns publishing companies.
Oh, right,
he owns HarperCollins and a few others. So they decide this is too hot. We're going to pulp the book. But the Goldman family sue, get control, and they republish the book. And it's worth Googling the amazing cover of the book, which is just the words, I did it, and in tiny faded letters inside the I is the word if. So it looks like I did it.
And then him with the gloves. It was a weird choice to put him with the gloves.
Yeah,
could have been a different image, but it's
I guess
really
it's
great.
An iconic one. So I never actually, I knew about this book, but I never knew how he explains it. So in the book, he only really devotes a chapter to the murder. A lot of it's just like about him and Nicole's marriage.
Right.
Again, like not a very honest account. But in the chapter where he talks about the murder, his hypothetical account of the events is that he had an unwilling accomplice called Charlie, who basically tries to stop him. He's like, OJ's like, I
going to go and teach her a lesson. And Charlie's like, no, don't do it. Anyway, he goes and he confronts Nicole and Goldman, that they're both there. I think the implication, not explained, is that they're sleeping together, and that's why he's so angry. And he says, Nicole falls and hits her head, and Goldman is crouching in a karate pose. Then, this is a quote, then something went horribly wrong, and I know what happened, but I can't tell you how. He writes that he regained consciousness later with no memory of the actual murder. So he doesn't really say anything.
It's really fascinating. I'd have to do a close reading of the book. Yeah. Like, the fact that even when he's imagining him doing it, he has to imagine, like, this other thing that's telling him not to do it.
Mm. Although I thought, is Charlie his conscience or is Charlie his lodger?
Oh, Cato?
I'm not suggesting Cato is implicating the murder, but maybe OJ was suggesting it.
Cato was his defence. He was his defence in the trial. Yeah.
It's such a weird thing to do if you are innocent.
Yeah.
Why is
to make
so
money.
sort of brazen as well, yeah, to, yeah, like play with the innocent verdict? Would you clearly got pretty lucky here anyway? Why
bother doing? He knows he's projected by double jeopardy, right? He can't be convicted of the murder because of double jeopardy law. Yeah. So he's like, I'm safe. I've been sued.
Is it a weird sort of, it's for his conscience really? Because I also read that the reason that he included if in the title was because he didn't want his kids to know that he'd done it, or that he wanted there to be reasonable doubt for his children.
Really?
Because also I think the woman who ran the publishing company had a phone call from one of OJ's lawyers when they announced that they wanted to do this book, and they said OJ's ready to confess to the murders. And then they like went forward with the publishing of the book. And then when they came to publish it, it was like, okay, we're going to put if I did it in the title so that there is reasonable doubt.
But he's still not honest even when he's talking about it. He still has to like...
The karate pose.
Yeah.
Very random.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he just wanted cash. I think he's like, I'm safe and I want money. It was ghostwritten as well. They basically were just like, put your name on this. Do one interview with us. So I don't think it's even his account of the murder really. But it's weird. He could have done a book that wasn't called that and didn't have a hypothetical reconstruction, and he still would have sold loads.
He should have just done like a TV interview.
Yeah. Oh, there was one around this and it gets suppressed at the time. Another reason I think it was for money is in the same year, he also launches Juiced, an improv-based prank show.
Oh my God, yeah, where it's like him. It's like punked.
Yeah, it's punked, basically. Yeah. It's like he like tricks someone. A lot of the punkings are just like, he gets people to come up for a TV audition and they don't know that their co-star is OJ Simpson. So it's kind of meta.
Wasn't there was another one where he was in a parking lot trying to sell a white Ford Bronco.
That's quite funny. One of the lines
was like, yeah, if you need to get away from anything quickly, then this is perfect.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. So I think we need to watch the intro to Juiced, because each episode opens with topless strippers dancing around Simpson, who's dressed as a pimp, and he's singing and rapping. I just rap with OJ Simpson in the juice, he gets close. Why do people wonder about my intentions? Why do people ask me so many questions about how I made it to the top? About all the times I miss those deep defensive stops. Yo, go step and stop in the juice. When I'm on the floor, I'm like a lion going loose. Better shoot me with a drink. So yeah,
no more of that.
He doesn't joke about the murders per se, does he? I can't really hear what he was.
He's trying to make like shit. Yeah, it's trying to make himself into. Do you know what's weird about it? Is it's almost trying to make him look cool. And I think even before he'd done those murders, he was not like a cool part. He wasn't cool.
Yeah, he was kind of clean cut.
He was like he wore like polos and he golfed and he did the hearts. Yeah. He wasn't like a counterculture figure.
He is now.
He's just making that into his character, really, as somebody who's got away with a crime. Right?
I like that there are little snippets in that video of the show where he's punking people, and you can see look in people's eyes. As they're like, oh, I got juiced by that fucking murderer.
Yeah.
There's a really good Vice article by a guy who worked on it.
Oh my God, I love that.
Yeah. But I guess for OJ, it's another nice little earner.
But does he make that much money? But no, because
he's broke, basically. Yeah. And the following year, he resorts to selling memorabilia in Las Vegas parking lots, because he's still got some memorabilia, I guess, or he can sign pictures or whatever. So he's just like set up in these really depressing parking lots, flogging stuff. And at some point when he's doing this in 2007, some of it gets stolen. And in response, OJ does what, you know, any sane, well-adjusted person would do. He leads a group of masked men with guns into a hotel room where they hold the thieves at gunpoint and demand them back. And this is how he ends up being convicted of armed robbery and kidnapping. And exactly 13 years to the day of his famous acquittal, he is convicted of armed robbery. And he gets jailed for 33 years. Ends up only serving 9.
That's mad.
That seems quite harsh. I mean, it is because it was armed robbery and kidnap. But
yeah,
still... 33 years for that.
But does
fucking hell, the system once again mistreats OJ Simpson.
But do you think, I'm just wondering whether
they priced
it's
in a sort
of
retrospective justice.
The fact it was on the same date?
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty
much. So it feels very like, so much of like American culture is that when you talk about it like this, just feels so like made for TV.
Yeah.
And this does feel like made for TV. Like, I don't think that you would get like some like, grey suited man in the Old Bailey be like, no, let's do it on the same day. And like,
well, I assumed that was a coincidence, but yeah, all of it just feels almost too good to be true.
Yeah.
Including the trial. Anyway, he serves 9 years and gets out. It's weird. You don't normally get out that early in America, do you, either? But
he wasn't out for that long before he died.
No,
right?
He comes out sort of 2016, I think. That sort of time.
Yeah.
And he then sort of has quite an interesting pandemic. So he gets on Twitter, where he's like mainly doing fancy football tips. People are just kind of like, lol, OJ Simpson's on Twitter. He's like a bit of a COVID prepper. So when COVID starts, there's like pictures of him stockpiling outside supermarkets.
He gets vaxxed really early.
Yeah,
and now he's dead.
So. Coincidence?
Yeah, something to think about.
He was stockpiling like bog roll and surgical gloves quite early.
He was also causing mischief. Like, I remember when he got out, he started talking about the Khloe Kardashian thing. And being like, I will take a DNA test. And I think all the Kardashians were at that stage like so famous that they were like, fuck off. Like,
really? He wants to take a DNA test to prove that he is the father?
No, to prove that he wasn't. Okay. But like at that stage, no one was really talking about it anymore.
I did see an interview with him about the Khloe thing where he was like, yeah, I'll do a DNA test, but like I didn't do that shit. But I guess that sort of denial doesn't count for much when it comes out of OJ Simpson. I didn't do
He's
it.
He's done worse.
Do you remember also there's this famous, really is very funny tweet. So when... as COVID was hitting, they said they were going to close golf courses, among other things. And there's this New York Post headline, OJ Simpson says he'll go crazy if all golf courses are closed. And some guy just retweeted it with, how crazy we talking?
It is so weird that he became like, I feel like it was too early for us when it was on TV. Mm. And then when he came out of prison and was on Twitter, he became like a meme again. And it was only like when he died this weekend, that people were like, oh my God.
Yeah, I didn't realise how guilty he was until... the series came out, The People vs. OJ Simpson. Mm. Before that, I thought it was like, you know, genuinely not that clear.
Yeah.
Weirdly, the NFL named him in their all-time team in 2021, which is quite a weird move from them.
That's really strange.
Really odd move. You do get like the odd person who doesn't mind. Dave Chappelle does quite a lot of jokes about like, there's this moment where he was in a restaurant and OJ knew him. They'd met before and he shook hands. OJ just came over and was like, hey, and they shook hands in front of everyone. Apparently OJ leaves and everyone's just silent. And then one of them finally says like, how can you shake hands with that murderer? And Dave Chappelle replied, madam, with all due respect, that murderer ran over 11,000 yards. Which is a good joke.
Yeah.
Do you want to give your verdicts or are we unanimous?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's definitely in hell. I'll give more of like a biblical view on things rather than
the
legal.
Real judgment.
Yeah.
I would say from what I've learned about this case, doing the research for this, that the evidence is to me overwhelming that he's guilty. But also, I didn't realise what a scumbag he was outside of the murder itself.
Yeah.
He's probably the most horrible person we've ever talked about on this podcast.
I think he is. Like, if you do upshot wrongins, like, surely no one's come close to OJ Simpson.
Let us know if you have any suggestions. Anyway, I think that's probably all we've got time for because we've got pretty forensic at times.
Yeah, great.
Thank you both. Thanks, Roche.
Thank you.
And thanks, Zach.
Thank you.
Thanks for doing a slightly different one.
Yeah, a bit darker.
Yeah. And thanks for listening to a slightly different one. Let us know what you think about that, please. Thanks a lot for listening.
Hmm. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.